Let me say a word of welcome to those I hope you've already received. We're glad you're here. If you're a newcomer here, you are an honored guest. I invite you, whether you're here all the time or this is the first time you've ever been here, there are pads on sort of each row. Put your name there. If you'd like to be on the main list, email distribution list, let us know. If you want more information about the church, there's ways you can check that. This is a way you can communicate prayer concerns to us, if you want those included. Just use this. If you need to update your information, contact information, use this as a way. Everyone's honored. We're honored by your presence here. We want to pray. There'll be a time in the prayer for you to say a name or a concern, a joy, and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. There are many we want to pray for. Chuck Kaler is here most Sundays. His mom was in an automobile accident this week, Evelyn, in the hospital. And there are others that are facing tests and treatments in the coming week. We want to remember them. We want to give thanks for those who have served in our armed forces as we remember veterans this long weekend. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Lord of mercy, God of grace, giver of every good thing, you who provide us with a world of beauty, you who have placed us in families, life among the generations, we give thanks to you. You who have revealed yourself to be a loving God in Jesus, we praise you. Lord, you know the things that delight us and make us happy, and you know the hard things in our lives. You know those places where relationships are fractured. You know the way we struggle, wrestling with addictions in ourselves and in our families, those we love. Lord, you know those whose work is hard and unrewarded, and you know those who don't have work now but are seeking it. Comfort, encourage, give strength. For those we've named and those we name in our hearts who need your healing presence, be there. We pray for all who have served the cause of peace and justice around the world. For those who have given themselves for a cause greater than themselves, we pray and give thanks. Lord, help us to translate all those hints of your presence into a life of faithfulness, of service, of seeking your presence and discovering it very near. Hear the prayers that your people make just now. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We're moving to the end of the Gospel of Matthew. We've been sort of reading, dipping in and out of Matthew now for most of this church year. And with the 25th chapter, the 25th chapter is three parables. And we're going to be looking at one today and then next week another one of those. Here, this reading, 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Jesus is speaking. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open your word to us. Let the things be said that you would have said, and let all else be quickly forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was always telling stories. He taught in parables, little stories. So many of them have a happy ending. There's that story about the Samaritan who's been beaten up and left by the side of the road for dead, but he is rescued. Happy ending. There's the one about the man who discovers treasure in this field. If he's able to buy it and get it, you know, happy ending. Or the merchant who finds a pearl of great price and he's able to sell some stuff and arrange some things and he gets that happy ending. There are even some parables of Jesus where he says it ended with a party. It ended with a great party. There's that woman, poor woman, who didn't have much money, and she lost a coin. And she sweeps and sweeps and looks in her house, and she finally finds it, and she invites her neighbors in to rejoice, and they have a party. There's another one where the shepherd, who has 100 sheep, you know, he loses one, and he goes and he leaves the 99, and he goes and finds the one, and he comes back and he brings everybody in to have a party with him. I presume the entree was not roast lamb that night, but they have some kind of party, probably maybe fish, I don't know. There's that story about the father who's got this son that's lost, his younger son, and lots of heartache as it begins, but the son comes home, and so they have a party. They kill the fatted calf. They have, you know, barbecue brisket. They hire a band, it says, and they make merry. They have a great party. Happy endings. Lots of joy. But, you know, there's some stories Jesus tells that are tragedies. They don't have a happy ending. People don't end up feasting and singing and enjoying the music. Tragic stories. And one of them concerns a wedding, which is kind of strange, this contrast between what should be a great day and what's a sad day. Well, here's the background of the story, the parable I read. In those days, a wedding would take place at the home of the bridegroom. The guy's family paid for everything back then, mainly. If you got a couple of daughters, you might think that's a good arrangement, you know. But that's how they did it back then. You'd be engaged maybe for a year. And then on the day of the wedding, the groom would ceremoniously go to the bride's house. Now, they had worked all this out. But he would go and sort of formally ask for the father of the bride for her hand in marriage. And they would enter into this little mock negotiation, sort of this little pretend haggling, you know, kind of playful bargaining, the groom and the father of the bride. And the groom would say, I would like your daughter. And the father would say, oh, I could never let my daughter go. And he begins to make his case about how good he would be to her. And the father would say, I couldn't do this. He would say, well, I'll do this. And so it goes on, and it's this playful thing. And eventually they're going to sign a contract, and they've probably already worked this out. But they go through this to say, what you know, it's all to flatter the bride and to honor her. And so they go back and forth and make speeches, you know, and so about what a treasure is. Eventually they'll sign the contract, which Jewish families do to this day, that says, you know, what the obligations of each party are and what debts you bring and what resources you bring. All of that stuff is worked out. But they go through this. And so finally they get there and the father says, okay, well, now we need a toast. And so, you know, they start the toast, and well, this cousin gets up and that cousin gets up, and you know how those, you've been to some of those, people won't stop and they go on and on. And then mother says, well, now we got to eat, you know, before you go, you got to eat. So they have a big meal. And it's kind of a compliment to the bride for the negotiations to go on a long time. You know, it could go on. Meanwhile, over at the groom's house, his family is waiting. They're waiting. When is he going to get here with his bride, with all her family? They're going to make a big procession to the house. We've got these young women. They're going to go out, and they've got these torches or these lamps, and they're going to have flowers, and they're going to be cheers and applause, and they're going to escort them in, kind of parade them in. Don't you know the mother of the groom is going crazy? She's trying to keep the hot food hot and the cold food cold. She's trying to keep people from drinking up the wine until they get there. She's trying to keep the kid, get your hand out of that frosting on that cake. You know, that's for the wedding. Don't touch that. I've told you once. How would you like to have to provide a great feast for the whole village? But you don't know when they're coming. That's what's going on. And they wait. And they wait. And the musicians have come up to the father of the groom and they say, we're about to get on overtime here. You know, we said it's about time for us to go. Champagne's lost its fizz. The bridesmaid they long ago took off those high heels. They were killing their feet, and their lamps have run out of oil, and they are over there snoring daintily. I mean, you know, but they're snoring. And at last, at midnight, someone says, they're here. They're coming. They're on their way. Well, the bridesmaid put the shoes on, and they get up, and they get their lamps relit, and five of them have run out of fuel, oil. And so they asked the other five, who had the foresight to bring a, you know, gallon milk jug with olive oil, extra oil. They said, give us some. And those other five, they're mean girls. They're not going to do that. They say, no, you go get your own. They say, why don't you go to the store and buy some? Yeah, at midnight, yeah. They're going to be all night oil stands open where you can go. But what are the girls going to do? You know, they don't want to disappoint the bride and the groom. So they, okay, so they leave. They go out looking for a place to get some oil at midnight. And while they're gone, the couple gets there. They say the vows. They have the toast. The party begins. And the girls come, and they have missed it. They have missed it all. The doors are locked, and the groom says, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. And those girls, the five, they end up in the dark, locked out of the party. they're all dressed up in those bridesmaids they spent way too much money for and they'll never be able to wear anywhere else. Sad parable. It ends with a sad story. So what are we going to do with this story? Jesus uses these stories. He tells about something people knew. Now, we don't know about these wedding customs, but people first heard and they would know. And they'd probably smile at some of that stuff. He's using something they knew, a wedding, to teach them about something they didn't quite understand. That would be the kingdom of God, he says, or the kingdom of heaven. What are we supposed to do with this? Well, the first sentence and the last sentence, I think, help us. At the beginning, Jesus says, this situation I'm going to describe, this story, it's like the kingdom of heaven. The whole story is like the kingdom of heaven. Or in other places, it's called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what it will be like when God gets through fixing the world. What it will be like when everybody loves God with all their heart and loves their neighbor as themselves. That's the kingdom when God will be all in all. I sing about all in all. When God will be in all and with all. That's what the world's going to be like when God gets through fixing it. And we believe God is up to this. God is working to bring this about. We believe God didn't just create the world and leave it to us and say, there you are. We believe He's working behind the scenes to bring about what the prophets said and what Jesus gives us glimpses of. And that's this kingdom of God. It's the Hebrew word is shalom. It's harmony. Kind of like it was in the Garden of Eden. There was harmony between the man and the woman, between the people and God, between all the animals and plants. Everything was sort of a harmonious relationship. God's peace or shalom or well-being. Jesus teaches us to pray for the kingdom. So we did a minute ago. Thy kingdom come. We said that. And what that means, thy kingdom come, is the next phrase. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom comes on earth when all God's people live with a life permeated by the ways of God and the ways of heaven. It's almost like earth annexed by heaven. Or over in the New Testament it says the earth colonized by heaven. It's this idea that God will be all in all. That all peoples and all families and all nations and everyone will recognize God and live in God's ways. Well, I don't think God would have told us to pray for that if God didn't have in mind that this will happen. So we have this lively hope that God is working it out to bring this world more and more under His influence, to sort of reclaim what has been fractured and lost and to purify, to bring it back together. We believe God is doing that. But like those bridesmaids, we don't know when it will happen. We don't know when God will finish what He has begun in Jesus, bring it to a completion. Now, all through Christian history, there have been teachers and preachers who would tell you exactly when that's going to be. You can read in the history books, Google it, and people have for years said, you know, God's going to finish this thing up and going to be judgment and going to work it out. The most recent, I guess, we published, it was Harold Camping, radio preacher, I believe in California. He started back in 1988 saying it's going to be this day, and he was wrong. And then 99, he moved on, and he said it was going to be last May, the 21st. Didn't happen. He was sure it would be last month, October the 21st, 2011. Didn't happen. What's so interesting is back up two paragraphs to this one, and in the 24th chapter, people ask Jesus, when's God going to do all this? And Jesus says, I don't know. That's His answer. So all through history, there have been Christians who have said, well, I know more than Jesus does about this. And so they work it out, you know. And so you'll meet people that say, I want you to read this book. It's going to tell you when all this happened. And or I want you to come hear this preacher. He's going to explain it all how it is. Well, they're claiming to know more than Jesus about that. What we are sure about is that God has not given up on this world. We don't know when God will wrap it up. But when God brings in His kingdom, we know that people will live in peace and unity. There will be a spirit of ethical behavior. God's Spirit will be all in all. There will be this authentic worship of God. We just don't know when. We live this side of the completion of that time. So that's why the last line of this parable is so important. It's really not the last line of the story. It's when Jesus finishes the story and he turns to him and he says, therefore, watch. Keep watch. Because you don't know the day or the hour. He says, be prepared. Stay awake. Pay attention. Be ready. Be ready for this wonderful thing God is doing. Something I want you to note is that when the story starts, everyone is invited. The bridesmaids, all 10 of them, are on the waiting list. They're on the guest list. And on those tables at the party, you know, there's little name tags, little place cards for every one of them. Everybody is invited. That's how it starts. All 10. The story ends with this sad exclusion, but before there's exclusion, there's inclusion. And there'll be this in the next two parables. But before anybody ends up outside, they were on the inside to begin with. God desires for all to be present for the joy of this new age. God wants us all to be at the party, but God wants us to want to be there. This God of ours does not coerce us, does not bully us. God has chosen us already, but God wants us to choose Him. He wants our unmanipulated, uncoerced, voluntary love. He wants, which means He gives us the freedom not to love Him and not to seek Him. That would be sad. Maybe it would break God's heart. God doesn't want us to be outside the party, but if we insist on staying away or thinking we will only get into the party if we've got enough oil, that's the girl's mistake. They would have been glad. Number one, the couple probably wouldn't even notice whose lamp was lit and whose wasn't. And they would say, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for being at our party. You know? But they leave. And it's kind of our choice. God, sadly it seems to us, God honors our choices. But if we desire God, if we desire and choose God and want to be with God forever, then we simply go ahead now and prepare for it. And even go ahead and put into practice, insofar as we can, what we know it will be like when God fixes everything. Since, for example, we know that when God fixes this thing, enemies are going to be reconciled. We go ahead now and work on that. We work on forgiveness now. You know, this side of God fixing it all, we're going to get with the program. We know that when God fixes the world, there will be enough of what people need to live. The Old Testament in the book of Hosea says, in the day of the Lord, every family will have a vine and a fig tree. It's this idea of kind of, everybody will have a little vineyard, a little place to get fruit. They'll have a little plot of land and live in peace and unafraid. So if we believe that's what God is bringing this thing to, we go ahead and get with the program now. So we go ahead and share with those who don't have enough. We let what is coming change us. It's sort of like a mom expecting the birth of a child. You know, that it not only changes her physically, but that changes, I suppose, certainly the mentality of the whole family. You know, you're beginning to rethink what family means, and maybe you're rearranging the furniture. You're taking out a little life insurance. You know, what is going to happen in the future changes you. It happens. You know, we got college seniors, you know, and they're beginning to think themselves, you know, I'm ready for this to be over. And what would it be like in a new place? So you see, the future changes us. It pulls us along. Well, that's what we're invited to do. To prepare our lives for what will be. To let God's kingdom shine already in our life. And if you keep reading in this chapter, we see that God has already penetrated the world at certain points with His presence. It's not like God is not with us at all now. In fact, Jesus says the kingdom of God is among you. But often God is incognito. We just miss it. The world is not completely fixed. There is so much that is wrong. It is not fully renovated yet. But nonetheless, the kingdom is in our midst. It's at hand, He said. It's hidden. But if you'll keep the lights on and keep looking, maybe you'll notice it. Matthew 25:31, a few verses on. Jesus tells a parable about how God is already in the world. He says, when somebody gives a hungry man a sack of groceries, heaven is breaking in. When did I see you hungry and give you food? He said, when a thirsty child somewhere in the world gets clean water, you know, God's territory has been expanded. When a shivering woman is given a warm coat, the risen Christ is present. When the sick are visited and comforted, God's rule is already there. When the stranger is welcomed, not feared, but welcomed, heaven has spilled over to earth. And when the prisoner is not forgotten, but is cared for, Christ is there in the jail cell. That's what He says. If we notice, it's already present in our midst. So He says, stay awake. Be prepared. Live a prepared life. One that will not be surprised when God fixes this world, because you've already sort of gotten with the program. Jesus says, stay awake. Pay attention. Don't slack off. Notice where God has already come and welcome Him. For the God who was is also the God who will come, but is also the God who already is, giving us welcome now, giving us mercy now, inviting us to join in His work of loving and His work of hospitality. And when we do, He says, I know you. I know you. And when He comes in fullness, He says, yeah, I've known you for a long time. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God of life, Lord of mercy, teach us to wait. But to wait as people who already enjoy the gift. Give us hunger and thirst for Your righteousness. Give us a desire to be with You and for You. Help us to notice. Keep our eyes wide open. Not to sleep through it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, would you stand that we might have a blessing and be sent forth. Go into the world in peace. Love the Lord who loves you. Answer His invitation to do all the ways He beckons you to be with Him, to love Him, to serve Him. The one who loves us is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.